Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Chris O'Shea sitting in for Drew Tignanelli. I'm here with Robert Lindstrom, a colleague from the consulate. Robert, good evening.
Good evening. Glad to be here, Chris.
Yeah, it was great to be with you. I can count literally on one hand how many times Drew has missed the show in the last 5 years. So this happens to be one of them. But we've got an exciting show. He was going to be in here. They coordinated this great guest. It's really, we have every other week, we try to bring in influencers, and we certainly have one here. We've got a book, the co-author of the book called The Giver, The Go-Giver, I should say. So why don't you tell us about our guest?
Yeah, tonight we have Bob Berg, and as an introduction, he is a sought-after speaker at company leadership and sales conferences, sharing the platform with everyone from today's business leaders and broadcast personalities to even a former U.S. president. As Chris said, he's the author of a number of books on sales, marketing, and influence, with total sales over 1 million copies, and The Go-Giver, which he co-authored with John David Mann, itself has sold over 850,000 copies and has been translated into 21 languages. He is also an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. He is also an unapologetic animal fanatic and is a past member of the board of directors of Furry Friends Adoption Clinic and Ranch in his hometown of Jupiter, Florida. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you. Good to be with both of you.
So tell us what led you to write this book in the first place.
Well, years ago, I had a book out called Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales. And it was a how-to book, and it was for entrepreneurs and salespeople who may have had a product that they loved, they knew they brought great value to the marketplace, but they had difficulties in going out there and forming the kind of relationships that would lead to business and would lead to referrals. And the basic premise of that book was that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And throughout the years, I'd always enjoyed reading business parables. And I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool if we could take the basic premise of endless referrals and turn it into a story, into a business parable? So I asked myself the question, what is the basic characteristic of a person who's able to develop these know, like, and trust relationships both quickly, but just as importantly, sustainably? And the answer is that they're always giving. They're giving value to others. And so, we kind of took that as a title called The Go-Giver. And I asked John David Mann, who was the editor-in-chief of a magazine I used to write for, who at the time very few people knew and knew of his brilliance. Unfortunately, I was one of those who did. And so I asked him to be the lead writer and storyteller of the book, which he agreed to, and we kind of put it together from there.
That's great. So 21, I saw 28 languages and counting that this book has. It's written over 10 years ago. But obviously, it has spawned something that you're going upwards of towards 1 million copies sold.
Yeah. It actually just hit the 910,000 mark. So we've got 90,000 to go, and now it's in 28 languages. And so, we're very, very happy about that. But it's really been because of people who have who've put the word out about the book. Something like this doesn't happen just because the authors do a good job promoting it. It's really the people who've been what we call the personal walking ambassadors of the message.
Sure, yeah. So we're going to get into in a little bit here the five laws of stratospheric success, because I know as the parable walks through those. But something ahead of that, though, because you think it's the entrepreneurial spirit. So question really is, because I think you make that point, is you don't have to be necessarily an entrepreneur. It's like I talk to people. You may not be leading an organization, but you lead from wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about, you don't have to be necessarily an entrepreneur, but you've got the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, well, and even someone who's not even in a leadership role, but someone who is in a very supportive role, or someone who's in mid-management, or someone who's in whatever it happens to be, you know, we think of an entrepreneur as someone who starts a business, who risks, in a way, their own money, time, blood, sweat, and tears, or other people's money as well sometimes. And you know, they're out there, and they have to do a great job of not only having a terrific product and service, but being able to communicate the value they provide to others. That's how they stay in business. Well, you might have someone within a company, and again, this person, you know, could hold any position, and they work for another person. So maybe they're not literally an entrepreneur, but they're certainly an intrapreneur. They need to be an entrepreneur within another person's organization, which means they're also having to serve others. They're doing what an entrepreneur, if they're doing their job right, they're doing exactly what an entrepreneur does, only instead of the customer being the end user, the customer might be your fellow coworker, or the person in the other cubicle, if you will, or that your supervisor, or you know, your employer, and eventually, whether directly or indirectly, the end user. So it's still, you know, it's funny, when I talk to a group of entrepreneurs or salespeople, I'll often start out by saying that nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet,
right?
You know, they're not going to buy from you because you need the money, or even because you're a really nice person. They're going to buy from you because they believe by doing so, they'll be better off by not doing so. Well, it's the same if you're working as an intrapreneur within another person's company. You're not being employed or paid a weekly salary because you have a mortgage to meet, but because you're proving that you bring immense value to your employer.
Sure. So, yeah, it's especially not going to buy from you if you tell them, hey, I have a quota to meet. So,
yeah, right, exactly.
You know, and I we're going to take a break here in just a half a minute, and so we'll get back. We'll talk about the five stratospheric laws of success. But another application that I think of is, I mean, this has so many different applications. One of them is just even marriage. If you're getting into a marriage thinking about what you're going to get from the marriage, well, you're starting behind the eight ball, right, to begin with. So you've got to go and, you know, what are you going to give to this relationship? So anyway, we have to take a pause for traffic, and we're going to be back right after that with Bob Berg, the co-writer of the book, The Go-Giver.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee-only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Chris O'Shea with Robert Lindstrom, sitting in for Drew Tignanelli. Just for Drew, that's Steve Winwood. So I know he, wherever he is, if he's listening, he would know that. So we've just started to break the ice here with co-author and leader, entrepreneur Bob Berg, and the book he wrote a while ago that spawned several other books, and so The Go-Giver. And so we're here for the whole hour. If you're listening, we're not taking any calls, but we're here for the whole hour. We're just going to explore in depth more of the book. So, Robert, lead us on.
Bob, can you run us through the five laws that are written about in the book and maybe your definition of each?
Sure. The laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. And they, you know, they really work together under the basic premise that shifting your focus from getting to giving, and again, when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, but it's the most financially profitable way as well. And the law of value itself says that your true worth, in the business sense, of course, your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, when you first hear that, that's sort of counterintuitive because it sounds like you're not making a profit, right? Give more in value than you take in payment. Isn't that a recipe for bankruptcy? And so we have to simply understand the difference between price and value. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, or idea that brings so much worth or value to someone that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did while you make a very healthy profit? And, you know, it's sort of like, and I know your company is a very go-giver company, and I know you focus on the relationships and the great value you provide others. So when you help someone, when one of your advisors helps someone to create and build a very sound financial future, they're providing much more in value to this client than the fee that they're taking, although the fee is also, you know, a very good fee and a very profitable fee.
So let me play devil's advocate for a second, just for fun.
Sure.
Someone says, okay, I haven't really been doing this. I'm looking to do it. It's like there's a lot of upfront investment in this before it starts paying results, however you define results. But like everybody, they can only do it for a certain period of time. When you came across this, tell us a little bit about, maybe it took off right away for you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's really no reason to think that it should take more time or more of an investment to do it this way. It's sort of, it would be sort of like saying, this go-giver stuff is good, you know, focusing on the other, but I need the money right now, right? So
sure.
I'm going to do it the regular way. I'm going to go in there and when I present to my potential customer or client, I'm going to focus on their money, right? I'm going to focus on myself and trying to just, get them to give me their money, right? And, if you do that, that other person probably isn't going to have a lot of trust in you. They're going to probably be able to sense what you're doing in sales. That's often called commission breath, right? When that
gotcha.
Salesperson is so focused on getting this other person's money that they're really focused just on that. But now, let's say, you're new, you're just starting out, you still need, you need the money that you're in business, but what you're going to do is you're going to not deny your self-interest, but you're certainly going to put it to the side because again, as we were saying earlier, no one's going to do business with you because you need the money. They're going to do it because they feel they're going to benefit. So now you go in there and you ask questions, and you discover what it is that they need, that they want, that they desire. You focus on helping them solve their problems and bringing them what they need and what they want. When they have questions or objections, you're not defensive, but you answer it together, helping them figure out exactly why this would work for them. And as you do this, you build trust, and that person's going to be much more likely to want to do business with you. So it actually is not only more profitable to do it this way, but it actually helps build a relationship quicker.
It does. And I saw years ago, I ran across a fellow who had a carpentry background, and he, though, turned into sales. And but he was the person, he was not the caricature salesperson, glad hand or slap you on
right.
the back type person. When you think about that, you can have that kind of thought in your head. Is he just said, I just meet the need. I just ask. I want to get at what the client needs.
Exactly.
And he just, because he was kind of a quiet guy, and he was extremely effective at doing that. So just even seeing it in practice years ago, it just made me think about this guy, Don, who that's what he would do.
Yeah, and this is one reason why we say that money is simply an echo of value. Money is an echo of value. It's the thunder, if you will, to value's lightning, which really means nothing more than that the value must come first. The focus must be on bringing extraordinary value to the other person. And when you do this, you know, the money you receive is simply a very natural and direct result of the value you've provided.
Right.
That's, you know, that's really what law number one, the law of value, is all about.
Right. Great. Sure. Robert.
Yeah, Bob, I was going to ask if you could go in a little bit more into the law of influence.
Sure. Well, the law of influence says that your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Now, again, like all the laws of the story, it sounds counterintuitive when you first hear it. But when you really think about it, the greatest leaders, the top influencers, the most successful, most highly profitable salespeople, this is simply how they run their lives and conduct their businesses. They're always looking for ways to focus on making the other person's life better. Now, when we say, you know, place their interests first, we certainly don't mean that in a way that you should be a doormat or a martyr or a self-sacrificial. Not at all. It's only that, as we alluded to earlier, all things being equal, you know, people are going to do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And here's the thing. There's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you from others than by genuinely and authentically moving from a focus on yourself to a focus on that other person.
Excellent. Excellent. Before we take a break, we've got to do that again in a couple of minutes. If people want to get out and just not only look at the book, get the book, and that plus, I think I saw there's a podcast that you do. Where can they go to start researching, getting some of your information?
Yeah, if they'd like to visit thegogiver.com without the hyphen, thegogiver.com, they can also get download the first chapter or two of the book, of any of the books in the series, as well as check out some of the goodies like the podcast and the Facebook Live show and some of the other things we have.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Okay, one question then. Another question before we take another traffic break is there one piece of advice you received before you knew anything about what a go-giver entailed that really made a difference for you?
I think it was the day that when I had just kind of started in sales, and you know, kind of a wise old veteran had said to me, Berg, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as the target. Your target is serving others. Then he said, when you hit the target, you'll get a reward, and that reward will come in the form of money, and you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It ain't the target itself. The target is serving others.
Yeah, and naturally, in doing that, again, you're taking the personality that you have, and for, again, being, and you'll get into that in a little bit. This is a teeing it up, I guess, is really the law of authenticity. So it's whoever you are, and, you know, some people are, you can be various types of personalities and to be effective if you follow some of these things.
I think
it's really key. So I think we're about that point. And so we're going to take another few minutes, take a traffic break, and we'll be back after the hour, after the half hour, with Bob Berg, co-author of the book, The Go-Giver.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we are back with Bob Berg. I was going to say the name of the show, but we are a wealth of... we're back with Bob Berg. We're going over the book, The Go-Giver. If you're just joining us now, Bob Berg's book and his co-author are approaching a million copies of sales. We're just talking about his website, talking about his podcast, and we've been going through his book, and we've been going through the five stratospheric laws of success. And he's already made me a believer just hearing him. We look at what the book is about, but hearing him just really embody what he's talking about. We talked about it at the tail end of our last piece was the law of authenticity. Bob, talk a little bit about that for us.
Yeah, and thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. The law of authenticity says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And in the story, one of the mentors, Deborah Davenport, shared a lesson that she learned in her sales career that all the skills, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are indeed all very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true authentic core. Now, when you do, though, as we like to say, show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. People feel very safe with you. They feel connected with you. They begin to know you. They like you. They trust you. They're much more likely to want to be in a relationship with you, to do business with you, to refer you to others. So it kind of brings up the question, if being authentic is such a good business strategy and life strategy, which it is, so why do sometimes people not show up authentically? Why do they sometimes come off as a, I guess the correct Latin term would be phonus bolonus, right? not authentic. And you know, we might think that it's, well, that they're crooked or they're trying to pull one over, and it's certainly a big world out there. There's plenty of people out there who might be like that, but that's not usually the case. 99 times out of 100, when someone doesn't come across authentically, it's typically the result of their simply not having the self-confidence to do so. They don't recognize, they don't embrace the, you know, really what they bring to the table. And I believe really that there are two types of value that we have. We have intrinsic value, which simply means by the very nature of being here, by being human beings, we bring value to the table. But there's also what I call market value. And I define market value as that combination of strengths, traits, talents, and characteristics that allows us to add value to the marketplace, value to others in such a way that we will be financially rewarded for it. And we all have value. We all have this market value. But the problem is, in recognizing it, is that we're human beings. And as such, we're very emotionally involved with ourselves. And sometimes it's really difficult to see through, you know, let's put it this way. You know, I'm 61 years old, and I look in the mirror, and I sometimes still see that 16-year-old skinny kid who had no self-confidence, right?
Right.
So I think we all have that to a certain degree.
Sure.
So it's very important that we're able to get with someone. It might be someone at work, it might be a counselor, it might be a coach, you know, what have you. Someone who can help us to really be able to see and to appreciate that value, that greatness, if you will, those strengths that we can offer others.
Yeah, just take out the complication from the issues. You know, just you are, somebody said years ago, I think it was Roger Ailes, although that name is not as popular as it once was, he said, "You are the message."
Yeah, oh, that's right. He wrote a book by that title, which was a wonderful book.
Sure, and that's what, you know, as you come into that, you do, because people, they do. They sense that. They sit across from you. They sense in the end. I mean, some people are better than others. They're going to get the gist of what you're bringing to the table anyway, so you might as well just be who you are.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people confuse authenticity with, you know, that's just how I am, take it or leave it. And, you know, that's an okay philosophy if you don't care about, you know, being able to do anything, but you know, in life. But if you want to, you know, if you want to be a person of influence, if you want to be a person who's successful, if you want to have a person to, who has good relationships, well, that's not all there is to it. And you know, it's sort of like the person who says, "Well, I'm, you know, I have anger issues and I yell at people a lot. And if I were to act differently, that wouldn't be authentic of me." And that, of course, is malarkey. It's hogwash. It simply means this person has an authentic problem. And they need to authentically work on themselves in order to become a better, higher, more effective, authentic version of themselves. So, you know, so we always say, don't let the term authenticity, don't use that as an excuse to stay where you are. Utilize it as a reason to grow into who you truly are.
Sure. Well, yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, well said. When I first picked up the book to read it, I was looking at the jacket cover and then the table of contents, and I see the first four laws as value, compensation, influence, authenticity. And I'm thinking, all right, I can kind of see where he's going to go with that. And then you throw in the fifth law of receptivity.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, well, you know, it's so important because it's sort of what brings it all home. In the story, the mentor, Pindar, asked the protege, Joe, to breathe out. And after Joe has breathed out, he says, hold that breath for another 30 seconds. And Joe tries, but in a few seconds, he starts to struggle for air, you know. And he says, what's the matter, Joe? Can't do it. And Joe says, no, I can't just breathe out. I've got to breathe in as well. And Pindar jokingly said, well, Joe, what if I was to tell you it's been medically proven that it's actually healthier to breathe out than it is to breathe in? And Joe just laughed, because that's silly. You can't. You can't do one or the other. You've got to do both. We breathe out. And we breathe in. We breathe out carbon dioxide. We breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving. We breathe in, which is receiving. And despite the stories we hear from the world around us about, you know, we don't get mixed messages about money and prosperity. We get negative messages from the world around us about money and prosperity. But the fact is, you know, giving and receiving are not opposite concepts at all. They're simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work together in tandem. So it's not a matter of, you know, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're a giver and a receiver. But we also know that the focus, and this, you know, comes back full circle, the focus needs to be on the giving. But when you do this, and when you give of yourself, and when you give value to others, and you touch people's lives with this, and you create the environment where you're able to receive. However, you have to allow yourself to do that.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the typical host here, Drew, and the owner of our company. He's an advisor, so he gives advice. I mean, he's a giver, so he gives advice. But he's receiving. I mean, what do you have? You got to receive something before you can give it. So he's receiving information, knowledge. He gets input from other people, and so because otherwise, if you're not receiving that part back. Is what are you giving? You're going to be given out of an empty barrel,
right,
sooner or later.
It's got to be both, and that's the way. That's it's physical nature. It's human nature. It's both, as opposed to one or the other.
So, do you find there's one of the laws, as you go and talk to thousands of people, do you find that there's one that is harder for people to? Is this the hardest one for people to wrap their heads around?
Absolutely. Receptivity is the toughest because it's an unconscious thing. We get these messages from the world around us from the time we're little kids. And, you know, you would think, you know, if you watch the news or if you watch a movie or, you know, that the good people are always poor and struggling and the rich people are mean and nasty and, right?
Yeah.
And these are the messages, and it can't help but get into someone's unconscious. And so you grow up and you find yourself in a position where you've just given great value to others, but you find yourself maybe sabotaging the financial success that you've deserved, and you don't know why. Well, it's typically unconscious, and it's a matter of, you know, resistance. And that's why we say to people, by all means, make a study, a proactive study of prosperity, because all the horrible messages about, you know, they come to you naturally. There, you see them everywhere. So you've got to make a study. You've got to be conscious of being prosperous.
Very good, very good. I have to interject there because we have to take our last traffic break. We're going to do that and be back with the co-author of The Go-Giver, Bob Berg. Take it away, traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we're back. This is Chris O'Shea and Robert Lindstrom sitting in for Drew Tignanelli. And we have about 10 minutes to go here in the show. And we've been spending an hour with a fascinating individual, Bob Berg, who's co-author of The Go-Giver. And he's written some other books also. And Bob, I think it's a good time for us to, again, tell if people just come in and out, listen to the radio and to the show, would you direct them to where they can find out more information about you and your podcast and things like that?
Sure. Best place is just to go to thegogiver.com, thegogiver.com, and pretty much everything's there.
Yeah, good. Yeah, he says he's got some Facebook things. He has the podcast. He has these books. And we'll come back at the end of the show to talk some about that. And so, you know, we only have several more questions we can ask because time is going to constrain us here. I think we spent a little bit of time on one question, and that is the Go-Giver philosophy. You said that it's totally congruent in line with human nature.
Yeah.
And you can look at that many different ways, not all of them positive. If you talk about human nature, right? Because we know, as you said, on our worst days, we're remembering some things, you know, from things that we did 50, you know, 35 years ago. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, really, what I mean by that when I say it's congruent with human nature, and one of my great mentors, Harry Brown, used to say that there are, basically everyone seeks happiness ultimately as human beings. I mean, that's right in within the character of our country, right?
Sure.
Within the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
You know, we seek happiness, and everyone has the right to seek happiness in whatever way they see fit, providing they don't infringe upon the rights of anyone else to do the same, of course. And so when we understand that ultimately everyone seeks happiness, and we can define happiness as the mental feeling of well-being. So everyone seeks happiness, but what Harry also said is that people understand happiness differently as individuals. So we place different values on different things. So what would bring happiness to one person may make someone else totally miserable or not have any meaning at all. So we know that everyone seeks happiness, and happiness is individual in nature. And then there's one other part that Harry used to say, which was so brilliant, and that is resources are limited, which shouldn't be misconstrued to be lack thinking. We live in a very abundant universe, but in terms of time, you know, we all have a limited amount of time,
sure.
of money, of
yep.
knowledge, of energy, of what have you. Because of this, we must make choices, and we're continually making choices, typically unconsciously, but throughout the day we're making choice after choice, and every single choice that we make is basically whether or not this thing will bring us closer to happiness based on how we understand happiness and within the limits or choices we believe we have. And so when you're operating as a go-giver, what are you focused on? You're focused on bringing this person happiness. In fact, Harry used to say, in a free market-based economy, and by, you know, when we say free market, we simply mean no one is forced to do
sure.
business with anyone
right.
else.
Sure.
So in a free market-based economy, profit is simply the result of pleasing or making another individual happy. So that's why being a go-giver is totally in alignment with human nature, just as free market capitalism is totally in alignment with human nature. And that's why, you know, big government, even when there's good intention, and there isn't usually, but even when there is, it typically messes things up because nobody, no small group of central planners and bureaucrats can ever know what would make some individual happy.
Sure. Sure. Well, and nowadays you talk about, you know, acquiring and maintaining business clients is harder and harder because, as you said, the free market association, people, there's so many more choices people can free associate with whom they want. They can change suppliers pretty quickly.
The freer the market, the more choices, and the better it is. And that's what Adam Smith had really figured out, you know, so many years ago, which so many people don't understand. They think he was pro-business. No, he was not. He was actually pro-consumer. And it wasn't that he was anti-business, but he was anti-mercantilism, which today is what we would see as cronyism.
Right. Sure. Go ahead. Robert's got something for you.
Bob, one of my favorite questions, which I certainly can't take credit for, though, is to ask, what is it that we didn't ask you that you wish we did ask you?
Oh, I think you guys asked me great questions. My goodness, this was a really fun interview. It went by a lot faster than it often does. So, no, thank you so much for having me on your show. I love what you and your company stand for, and I'm just really honored to have been with y'all.
Yeah, it was great. Drew, you know, we were in business for a while together, and then just as you see markets change and what have you, and he was always out ahead of things, and so I'm not surprised, again, that he would see the value and or find this book and come about it. So let me ask, we've got a couple more minutes here to go. What misconceptions are out there about being a go-giver?
Well, I mean, I think when people see the title before they read the book and they see the go-giver, they maybe think it's about giving yourself away or, you know, being self-sacrificial or something like that, or not making a profit, when of course that's just the opposite. Go-givers tend to make very big profits because they're focused on the value they're providing, not the price. You know, it's so interesting because in today's day, said technology has really leveled off the playing field, and most products and services are pretty much the same. So unless you can distinguish yourself, you're going to end up, you know, selling on low price. And when you sell on low price, you're basically a commodity. When you sell on high value, you're a resource. And that's what go-givers are. They tend to be resources.
Sure. So, okay, well, now I'm thinking about it. As you travel across the country, do you find certain areas are more receptive to the message, even geographically, or the type of business it is? Or is this really because of the essence of it, is that no matter where you go, where people are open to it, it really is eye-opening for them?
Yeah, you know, I really find that people are very receptive to this. It's not that there aren't some skeptics, of course. All come from their own belief systems and
sure.
ways of doing things and so forth. But, you know, by and large, you know, it's like when the book first came out, the early adapters or adopters, what have you, were the people who were already successful. And they were doing these things. They were living their lives, conducting their businesses the go-giver way long before the book ever came out. It was more just something where it said, hey, you know, yeah, this is exactly what I'm doing. So they started sharing the book with others. And then the second wave of adapters or adopters were the people who were given the book by. So, you know, there's nothing new about this. I would imagine that as long as there have been market economies, the successful people have been doing this. They've been plugging into these five laws. Of course, you know, many of them without even knowing it.
Sure.
And so forth. So, yeah, it's pretty much we felt very good about the acceptance it's received.
Because when I think about people who, you know, I love to read books about leadership. I wouldn't say I was naturally born leader, but I've been studying it for 20 years. And I find other people who are leaders and have been doing it for a while, they're constantly reading about leadership. You know,
yeah.
They're just trying to fine-tune, like what you're saying. These are, you know, maybe people who have thought, hey, this is the way I want to do business anyway. And now you're giving them tools to say, okay, just to refine that process.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know how it is, they've been telling their people the same thing for years, but they don't listen because,
right.
you know, it's them.
Sure.
It's that third party, you know, who kind of comes in from out of town with a briefcase, as they say.
Yeah, it's like we all have children, right? We just love to hear that back from kids. Our kids tell us something that we told them years and years ago and say, hey, somebody told me this.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
Came across as a great idea, right?
Yeah, so we're about out of time. If you're just tuning into the show, we've been talking for this hour with Bob Berg. His book is The Go-Giver. He has other books along that series. One, I think, is The Go-Giver Sells. Robert was telling me about that one, and really encouraging you to be your authentic self and really giving to others. We think it's a great message. Bob, we really appreciate you spending your time. We know you're much in demand. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Greatly appreciate you.
All right. This is Chris for Drew and Robert saying goodnight. We'll be at an open show next week. Drew will be back in his chair.
Things are gonna be much better.